We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need cash out of your home and a simple way to get it, Rocket can. Welcome back to Maggie and Perloff. So many different reports all offseason long. We expected certain things to happen in the quarterback market, Maggie. We expected... Yep. Baker Mayfield to go somewhere other than Cleveland once they signed Deshaun Watson. And I think we expected Jimmy Garoppolo at some point would be on another team. But here we are. We're getting towards the end of May. OTAs are going on, and we know nothing.
Well, and it's interesting because it's not just us, but it's the insiders and the people that we really respect who cover this league who seem to have two very differing views on what's going on with Jimmy Garoppolo. Of course, our pal and buddy Peter King believes that there is something to the fact that if the 49ers had seen more from Trey Lance in this offseason to convince them that he's fully ready to take over the reins, that Jimmy Garoppolo would not be on this team right now. And Albert Breer, who we also love and who is one of our friends, believes that Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be traded. This is only a matter of time, and that the team is actually going to be very flexible working with Garoppolo to find the right spot for him. So one insider thinks that Garoppolo is being kept around because Lance isn't ready. The other is saying that he's absolutely going to get traded. Can I tell you what I think?
Yeah, sure.
If I were the 49ers, I'm keeping Jimmy G. I'm keeping him now because I don't care if we did this whole farewell, internal farewell tour or whatever. I'm a team that still feels like I should be a Super Bowl contender, and I'm not just going to hand this over to a second-year quarterback. Think about it. All the other second-year quarterbacks are not going into the season with even, like, playoff aspirations. I mean, it'd be nice if the Jacksonville Jaguars or the Jets made the playoffs. Nobody's expecting the Bears to make the playoffs, the Houston Texans. That Trey Lance is the only guy who's going to be counted upon to try and steer this team to a playoffs, I think it's almost unfair. You're leaving yourself with no margin for error. And if the relationship between the 49ers and Jimmy G is still so good, then keep him around.
Yeah, but what's your end game? Like, what's your goal here? Don't you need Trey Lance to eventually lead you to a Super Bowl win? Isn't that the point of this whole exercise? You traded up. You gave up tons of resources to get Trey Lance. I don't know. I'm not sure having Jimmy G on the roster helps Trey Lance be a better quarterback. And I think if that's the goal of the entire organization, then can you at least see an argument where having Jimmy G in the building is a bit of a problem?
Okay, well, is the main goal of the franchise to develop a quarterback or to win? Because I think you can actually do both, right? If Lance isn't ready at least to start the season, you can always have Jimmy there as like your, you know, airbag. Here's the one thing about Jimmy that unfortunately we know, and I'm knocking on wood for the guy because we're not wishing this on him, but at some point he's probably going to get injured and he's probably going to miss a game or two, just like last year when Trey Lance was thrown in.
He's not healthy right now. He had surgery this offseason, so he's not even anywhere. I mean, he's not playing, and that's why it's kind of hard to trade him. I think if he was out there working out at OTAs, I think it might be a different story, but he's injured right now. So the other thing, though, about Trey Lance, like, he's coming into his second year. I mean, that's like, you can't avoid the trends. Like, that's when quarterbacks make it in the NFL. Patrick Mahomes took over for Alex Smith when the Chiefs were looking really good. A very similar situation. Now, I'm not saying Trey Lance is Patrick Mahomes, but that's what you have to aspire to. Joe Burrow is in the Super Bowl in his second year. You only have a limited window, Maggie. You have 5 years with the rookie contract. Now, Jimmy G has 1 year left on his deal. What are you doing there? What if he's good? Are you going to re-sign him again and then just never commit to Trey Lance?
No, I don't think so. I don't think just because you'd keep Jimmy for one more year, I don't think that means you necessarily owe him a contract extension, even if you make it to the Super Bowl, because I think that everyone would understand what you just said, which is you invested so many resources into Lance. You know that he's got to be the quarterback of the future. However, I mean, I know it's not exactly apples to apples, but Aaron Rodgers has obviously staved off Jordan Love, even though they took him with a first-round pick, but they only traded up a little bit to get him, not nearly what the 49ers did for Lance. No, you are going to move on, and Jimmy's not clearly the quarterback that Aaron Rodgers is, but I don't think it has to be, like, so immediate. I know that cliche, if you have two quarterbacks, you don't have one, but I think I go into this season straight-up quarterback competition, and I'm seeing who wins this job out of camp. It's probably going to be Garoppolo. And even if Lance has to sit for 2 years, as you mentioned, you still have, in theory, 3 more years of him on a rookie deal.
Yeah, I kind of disagree with that. I think Trey Lance is starting week one no matter what. I find it very unlikely. I think they have to go to him because of what they gave up for him. The with Garoppolo, has Garoppolo helped them or hurt them in the postseason? When you look at it, he definitely missed that pass in the Super Bowl to Emmanuel Sanders. He's had great games. He did nothing to beat the Packers this year. He had an okay last ride. You know, he probably helped them somewhat against the Rams, but then wasn't quite enough. I feel like they see that there's a ceiling to where they can go with Jimmy Garoppolo, not to mention the health. So I think to get past that ceiling, the reason they drafted Trey Lance was to get all the way. Like, it's kind of like we're talking about Russell Wilson's Super Bowl or bust. This is Super Bowl or bust. We've seen where Jimmy G can take them. I think they're afraid that it's only so far. Like, if it's a playoff shootout and it's Jimmy G versus Brady or Jimmy G versus Aaron Rodgers, well, that's a bad one maybe, or Jimmy G versus Stafford, you're going to pick the other quarterback.
No, I get it, but you are throwing a lot on a second-year guy, and I also wonder how much the rest of the locker room kind of plays into these decisions. Like, you have a pretty veteran squad here who tasted it, you know, has been in the Super Bowl recently and obviously lost, then back to the NFC Championship game. We heard George Kittle talking about all these things that Jimmy Garoppolo brings to the team, and I don't think that was just niceties there. You know, I think it's a lot to ask of a second-year guy. Now, it's funny you said that you think that Trey Lance would start the season as quarterback if they brought in Garoppolo. What do you do there? Like, you have Garoppolo sitting behind Lance. Then if Lance has, like, 2 bad games in a row, you're going to start probably hearing some rumblings like, sure, hey, you got Garoppolo sitting right behind him. Like, put Garoppolo in. I think it's better to start Garoppolo and have Lance coming in off the bench when Garoppolo inevitably gets injured.
Yeah, I think that makes total sense. I understand what you're saying. But even when Peter King, that is, said that he thought they should hold on to Jimmy G, his scenario was a Trey Lance starts week one. Like, there's just so much went into this trade for Trey Lance. You know, they were sitting there. They like Mac Jones. They took Trey Lance. I don't think you can avoid that history. You did bring up a good point with the Packers took Jordan Love and then are probably never going to play him. The thing about Trey Lance, he's young, but listen, he is mobile and he's big and he is strong. So even a bad Trey Lance game, even if he's not on throwing the ball, don't you think, like, there's a lot they can do with this incredibly run-oriented offense with Trey Lance? Like, their defense is absolutely stacked. I mean, like, definitely a Super Bowl defense. So can you see a scenario where they use a mobile quarterback, kind of like early Lamar Jackson, like Ravens? You can just have Trey Lance play very conservative football, run a lot, and win with defense.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny, though, because as we found out yesterday in somewhat shocking fashion that Andrew Perloff would indeed be a diva wide receiver if was playing in the league. And you said the last person you would want to play with would be Trey Lance. As much as you love Lance and you are basically leading the bandwagon, you even said yesterday you don't think wide receivers want to play with a quarterback like that, just like Lamar Jackson, even Hollywood Brown asked out of there, because nobody gets theirs. You know, no one gets their touches, no one gets their numbers. You know, you're not talking about guys making Pro Bowls, and that ticks people off.
Yeah, I mean, it's just math. If there are 50 pass plays called in a game and the quarterback runs on 15 of those, that's 15 targets that disappear. So, of course, I think receivers don't want to play with mobile quarterbacks. I mean, Marquise Brown, as you just mentioned, is a perfect example. He loved Lamar Jackson, but yeah. The other thing, too, is, like, receivers, I think, don't mind a quarterback throws interceptions. I think receivers loved Eli Manning. Eli Manning, in his last 5 years in New York, was a interception machine. But
so look many at the, interceptions.
Look at the numbers his receivers got. They were absolutely incredible. Like Odell Beckham was, for a point, averaging more yards per game than any player in NFL history. So I think receivers have a different set of criteria than the rest of us. And I don't care what you say, Maggie. I know I'm being a diva wide receiver here. Receivers are all about getting theirs. I mean, honestly, do you think Devontae Adams was thinking Super Bowl when he left Green Bay for the Raiders? Do you think Tyreek Hill was thinking about that when he left Kansas City for the Dolphins? Like,
well, it's
receivers
so funny you just said that.
Have to get theirs.
It's funny. Tyreek Hill was actually speaking today at OTAs and basically said, not basically, this is from Cam Wolf, who covers the Dolphins, said, Tua has, this is according to Tyreek Hill, quote, Tua actually has one of the prettiest balls I've ever caught in my life. He's very accurate. Heck of a talent, has crazy arm strength, arm talent.
Hmm.
You buying that?
Everything except the crazy arm strength.
I mean, Tua. I don't think of arm strength when I think of Tua. I think accurate, that's for sure.
Well, I remember in college, like, watching Tua was gorgeous. It was just the most beautiful thing you've ever seen because he's lefty, he's small, he would just launch these moon balls that obviously Devontae Smith and Jerry Jeudy and all these guys would come down with. Yeah, is it a weird? Does it seem to you, Maggie, like they're like going out of their way to prop up Tua's arm?
Yes.
So I know your radar is seeing the same thing I am. Like, okay, does that mean that they don't really believe him? Like, are you more inclined to think that this is like, we're worried about this guy's arm?
You know, like, I think everyone can relate to this. Like, when you're part of a company and like they're starting a new initiative and there's like talking points.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, here are the talking points that we're trying to hit here. And like you have like number one in the PowerPoint presentation underlined five times is like Tua has a strong arm. Like, everyone say it together.
Yeah.
You know, work it into a conversation naturally. You know, try to make sure you're up to speed on all the talking points. It feels like it's a calculated effort to prop Tua up, yes.
Yeah, and also for Tyreek Hill, I think, though, this is somewhat personal, too, because I think he's facing criticism for leaving a Super Bowl-caliber team to go to Miami, where I don't think anybody thinks they're a Super Bowl-caliber team. Like, do you think that there's something about this where he's trying to justify his move to go down there?
You know what? That's interesting. Is this like a new thing that we do in sports, or have we been doing this all the time? Because I feel like we do it more recently. We're doing it in the NFL, I think, with Tyreek Hill leaving Patrick Mahomes. How could you? You know, how could you, even for the money? We do this in basketball, too, not to pivot, but like we do this with Kevin Durant. How could you? How could you leave Steph Curry to go play with Kyrie Irving? Have we always been doing this in sports, Perloff, or is this something new?
I mean, still, we just destroyed Kevin Durant for 4 years after he joined Steph Curry. So the irony of that take. Yeah, I don't remember us. I don't feel like KD got killed for leaving Steph.
But now he is, because look at what the Warriors are doing. They might sweep the Mavericks. That could end tonight. And they're obviously going to be, whoever comes out of the East is going to be so banged up. I don't even know if they're going to be able to field a full squad. And the Warriors could win a title. And it's, believe me, it's going to reflect on KD. You and I talked about this 2 months ago. What would it do to KD's legacy if the Warriors win a title? And I just can't remember if we've always been doing this, where we talk about the person who left the dynasty or who left the good, you know, the good situation, or are we just doing that now?
Well, I
can't remember.
I think it's if you're one of your big three stars leave. Like, imagine the 90s Cowboys. If Emmitt, Irvin, or Aikman had left to go to another team, I think that would have been just awful. But if, Alvin Harper or whatever, some other player leaves, then I think if you get down the list, it's okay. Like, for example, Tyreek Hill leaving felt really bad, but Sammy Watkins left the Chiefs and nobody cared. So I think, does it matter like how good a player you are? And like KD is obviously a top three guy. So I think if you get down the depth chart, you're fine.
Yeah, right. If you're further down the depth chart, nobody cared when Sammy Watkins left Buffalo, let alone Kansas City. I mean, they gave up stuff to trade up to get him. No offense to Sammy, but yeah, it's a different caliber here. We're talking about the crucial piece.
But there's something about the Devontae Adams, Tyreek Hill that felt personal, though, because like we imagine this relationship with Devontae Adams and Aaron Rodgers doing the Last Dance, and we thought that they wanted to do this together. And the fact that he left sort of said something, I think, about their relationship that we didn't know. And to some extent, I think Mahomes, too. Like, didn't we think, oh, no receiver would leave Patrick Mahomes, right? But that's why these two cases of Tyreek and Davante Adams just feel so different to me.
Well, you're right about that. And I would actually say the other thing, too, and not for me to be counting someone else's money, but, you know, Tyreek Hill and Davante Adams, this is the last big bite at the apple for these two guys, right? Like, this is your chance to really cash in and to make that life-altering money. You know, Durant was always going to have the life-altering money. You know, he's already had it and we're just only going to add more and more and more of it. Good for you. I'm not begrudging. I'm just saying that was never going to be Durant's last bite at the apple. Like, he didn't have to go to a different team to be the highest paid player. You know, he signed the extension in Brooklyn, but he would have signed one anywhere. Yeah. Maybe that makes it a little different.
Totally. All right, our buddy Sean in Oregon is in on the Dolphins. Sean, what do you got?
Hey, Perloff, I hear you still thinking Russell Wilson and the Broncos are going to do something. And I don't think he's going to do much. I think you guys are expecting too much out of him. I think he's not even going to be the second-best team in that meat grinder West. I think the Chargers, you better be looking out for them. Raiders, and I mean, I really think he's going to have a hard time. And I'm still saying that Miami Dolphins are going to win more games. And last time I talked to you, you said you wanted to put a bet that the Broncos were going to win more games. What do you want to bet?
Okay, you're in Oregon. All right. So what is Oregon known for? Like, I bet some guy in Canada that I pour maple syrup all over my head. So
we're
what,
known.
Yeah.
We're known for beer and Bud.
Yeah, yeah. I was about to say, I think I know what Oregon's known for. I was hopefully you're going to say some copperhead salmon or something like that. Or
we have that. I can send you some smoked salmon.
Well, there you go. Oh, I love smoked salmon. We'll do that. Now,
yeah. Sean, you send the smoked salmon to Perloff. I'll take the other stuff.
What about, what if we lose? What do I have to do? Or what you want us to send you something?
Let's put some thought into that. I'll call you back.
Awesome, dude. Appreciate it.
We already know what New York City is known for. Obviously, robust rat population.
Yeah.
Mostly in the city, or in the subways, rather. We've talked about that extensively on this show.
Pizza and
rats.
We're
known for some other things, too.
Pizza and rats often grouped together. Rats carrying pizza on video. We can send you a lot of that.
Yeah, we've got plenty of that to export out to Oregon. Fun stuff. We'll come up with that. Who will win more games, the Miami Dolphins or the Denver Broncos? That's the bet between Sean in Oregon and Andrew Perloff. That's a spicy one.
I like you. All right, coming. What do we know for you? Yeah. Bud? No, beer and Bud.
You meant Budweiser,
there are worse
right?
things to be known for. I love it. Okay, coming up next, we've got the best athletic performances we've seen, but we're going to give it a little bit of a Maggie and Perloff twist. We'll explain in just a moment. Stay with us, Maggie and Perloff, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM, Channel 158.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at
at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Back on Maggie and Perloff. It's a big movie week. Not only is Top Gun coming out, if you're watching the NBA playoffs, Thor is fully integrated into the NBA playoff commercials. And Maggie, you are a non-Marvel person, famously non-Marvel. Are you baffled by these commercials that show like Tyler Hero and Chris Hemsworth from Thor going back and forth?
Wait, is that Chris Hemsworth? I thought it was Liam Hemsworth the whole time. It's a different guy?
I'm pretty sure. Help me out. I think it's Chris, right? Yeah, Liam. Liam's awesome, too. He was in, what's the movie is Liam Hemsworth in? He was in a comedy with Rebel Wilson that was very funny.
The only Thor that I know is former Mets pitcher Noah Syndergaard. Like, that's where it is for me. And I know he took the nickname based off of the movie. Yeah, I watched those integrations, and I'm like, good for them? I don't know. I'm thinking about Top Gun, though, because that actually is in my wheelhouse. Like, Top Gun was like a cheesy 80s movie that I remember watching for the first time, like on cable, and just being like, who are these guys without shirts playing volleyball? Like, sign me up.
Yeah, jeans, no shirts. Yeah, I mean, that was... Yeah.
This new one is getting like rave reviews. Everything that I see...
No, you saw a 97% fresh Rotten Tomatoes.
No, I saw this thing that got a standing ovation at the Cannes Film Festival.
Yeah. Do you think that means it's critically good or just nostalgic good?
Both and either at the same time. If it's getting a standing ovation, that means that at the very least, it's nostalgic and at least passable to a point where people are like, all right, this is exactly what I needed today.
Wait, hold on. Is it possible, though, and stay with me on this, that maybe the standing ovation is this sort of like constant lifetime achievement award for Tom Cruise? You know, people are thinking like he's almost 60. He's out here. I think he's still doing his own stunts. I mean, we know he's running because there cannot be a Tom Cruise movie without Tom Cruise running. And I thought it was amazing and genius. ESPN.com did a funny thing. They had all of these Olympic sprinters and like sprint coaches weigh in on Tom Cruise's like running style in the movies. And they all basically said it was like, pretty whack. Like, it's all wrong. He's too upright. His palms are open. Like, everything about him is not right for a sprinter. But aesthetically, Perloff, nobody runs better in a movie than Tom Cruise. He's the GOAT.
I thought you were going to tell me that they said that he had great form. I thought if no. Tom Cruise, I mean, to me, he looks like Usain Bolt on screen.
He's so good. But to me, it's like when it's the firm, right? Where he's in the tie and it's flapping behind him and he's like sprinting. He runs in every movie. So it's like, it must be in his contract, but he looks so perfect running on film, but he's not the only one. Like, there are a lot of good on screen runners. Like, I think Will Smith is an excellent on screen runner. You know, when he was in Men in Black, that was some phenomenal running.
I mean, he's a great athlete. It feels like he's a good athlete. He's a great dancer. Incredible as Ali. He was an incredible boxer. So yeah, you're right. That opening scene of Men in Black when he's running around, he's perfect.
It's like, it feels like Olympic form. I would say other good runners in terms of on screen, I think someone who doesn't get a lot of credit but should is Laura Dern in Jurassic Park. She's a great runner, and Jurassic Park is coming back with yet another movie.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to take off a few points because when you're getting chased by a dinosaur, you better run fast. I think like her motivation is very strong. You know, if you got a velociraptor on your trail, that's going to take like a tenth of a second off your 40. In fact, if I was training for the NFL combine, I would ask to have a dinosaur chase me.
Wait a minute. Hold on. The motivation is running from a dinosaur is greater than Will Smith trying to run down an alien or Tom Cruise trying to run down a bad guy?
Yes, they were chasing the alien, and he didn't even know it was an alien at the time until he saw him blink both ways. I think, yes, definitely running from a dinosaur is as motivated as a human being can be to run. Who else you got? Any other good runners?
Another TV commercial that's running incessantly during the NBA playoffs. It's like between that, the Marvel stuff, and the Modelo's commercials, I feel like that's like our the big three commercials for the NBA playoffs.
Wait, can we have a little, little honest talk about the Jurassic Park series?
Yeah.
The female lead in the new Jurassic Parks, that is not working. I don't understand. Like, there's like they're bringing back all the cast, and I've seen the new Chris Pratt Jurassic Parks. Like, they do that. I don't buy that couple for 1 second. Does anybody else have a problem? I don't even know. I'm looking at the other side of the glass. They don't even like her. Like
Bryce
the new
Dallas
movie.
Howard, isn't it? It's Ron Howard's daughter.
Yeah, that's a. Is anybody a fan of the new Jurassic Parks over there?
I like Chris Pratt, but I'm with you. I just was not feeling the last one.
Yeah.
All right.
Tough.
Maggie, are you a Jurassic Park person? So you could do dinosaurs, you just can't do Marvel.
Well, it's right in my wheelhouse because the original Jurassic Park came out in 1993, so I was 10. So that was like hitting me right in the sweet spot there. And now I've got a 2.5-year-old, so dinosaurs are a really big part of my life yet again. But I don't think this Jurassic Park is going to be for me. I'm usually pretty loyal, but I'm not going to go with this one. You know, I'm surprised. We brought up on-screen runners. And I feel like, Perloff, as someone who hails from Philadelphia, aren't you, like, contractually obligated to bring up Sylvester Stallone right now?
That's like a, yeah, but he's not sprinting, he's jogging. Is it the same thing? When he's jogging through the Italian market?
No, he's sprinting.
Oh, yeah, at the end he runs. Yeah. Yeah, I feel like Rocky's in a different category because he's Rocky. That actually is, I mean, that's. You're talking about fictitious movies. This is real life. So I don't think that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. That was more closer to a documentary. There's really like, of course Rocky could run. I mean, duh.
I mean, to your point, Maggie, I'm sorry to cut you off. To your point, that scene when he's running and he's got the kids behind him and he goes into full sprint mode, like that may have been the coolest, like, actual running scene in any movie I've ever seen.
Oh, even better.
Did you see how fast he's going? He's leaving these kids in the dust and the kids are trying to keep up with him.
I think you could also top that in the Rocky series when Apollo Creed and Rocky are running on the beach.
That's
and
actually really cool too. Rocky, but that feels them. A little bit more, faked.
No, you can't compare Laura Dern running from dinosaurs to Rocky. I mean, that was all time. I mean, that's not even running. That's winning a boxing championship right there.
Well, I mean, did you not see the Velociraptor chasing Rocky down Philadelphia?
It was an NBA mashup that they missed on that one. But I like what Carl Weathers actually starts running backwards in that beach scene.
Yeah.
And he's even good running backwards. We should put Carl Weathers on this list.
He is the coolest. Apollo Creed was the coolest. Like, Mr. T couldn't run. I don't remember Mr. T running at all. He just hit people.
No.
Apollo was
Mr.
the coolest.
Mr. T, you never even saw. Well, actually, that's not true. Dolph Lundgren was running, but it was on the treadmill.
Yes. That was pretty good treadmill running. I don't know if anyone's ever. I mean,
to the point where he had to like stop and like grab the edges and like, he was very exhausted.
Yeah, and he had like monitors all over him because the Russian scientists were working on his body, like pumping in steroids as he was running. That is that's hard running.
Getting the needle into a moving target, that was the real ingenuity of that movie. Yeah, as far as good treadmill runners in a movie, I think you got to put Dolph Lundgren as the Russian is number one. Can I say Ethan Hawke in Gattaca was also a pretty good treadmill runner?
Definitely. That's a little weird, but I like it. I don't really. That was a strange movie that I enjoyed. I don't totally remember, but like he was in space, so he had to run on the treadmill, right? Like he couldn't go around the block.
No, he was part of like the privileged class of people, and he had to, and everyone had to have this fitness regimen. And he had to, like, keep up, remember? Because he was, like, physically, like, a heart issue, and he had to fake it. Okay, the next one on the list is Scarlett Johansson, but I'm going to need some help here because, as you mentioned, I never saw Black Widow or any of the Marvel stuff, but she apparently is a phenomenal on-screen runner.
Yeah, I don't know. Her favorite move is to jump and land. There's actually showing it on CBS Sports Radio. She lands in like a 3-point stance, like a defensive end about to go after the quarterback. Like
shoot the gap.
She's got a famous move, Mike. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, it's almost like the Spider-Man move. But I was saying this morning when we briefly mentioned this on the call. I don't like notice runners. Like if they're good runners, like I'm not watching Black Widow being like, oh man, what a great runner she is. But I'll notice when they're like a really bad runner, when like you see some guy who's like kind of running in space, their feet are going in weird directions and their hands are in a very unnatural motion. Like, that I'll notice. I've never noticed ScarJo's great running skills.
Who's the worst on-screen runner? Do you have, like, is this like Forrest Gump? I mean, obviously, Tom Hanks was doing a thing there where he's running super upright. Also, a little Shades of Me at the run of the 40 in Las Vegas. Yeah. I had a little Forrest Gump in my gait. But who's a is there a bad on-screen runner that you have?
So, I don't know if this is a shared opinion, but I've always thought, like, Liam Neeson in Taken, he always looks very awkward when he's running. And maybe it's just me. Maybe it's just Liam Neeson because he's got bad accents also, but Liam Neeson's never been a good runner to me.
He's 100. How old is that guy?
Yeah, but he's in Taken.
He's running with a walker.
They're going to regret, you know, he has skills that other people don't have, and you know, one of them is not running.
But he's got a special set of skills, and trust me. And by the way, he's an awesome runner. I totally disagree with this. Liam Neeson could do no wrong whatsoever. Taking Liam Neeson, I mean, you don't want to be his family member or his friend or anywhere near him in the beginning of the movie. Be something bad's going to happen. But
you don't want to stand next to Liam Neeson. Can we just bring this full circle? Like, if you are in the new Top Gun and you're now cast next to Tom Cruise, and you're like, is this big stars in this movie? John Hamm's in the movie. Who do you love? Roger's best friend.
Wait, who?
Perloff, you know, Miles Teller.
Oh, Miles Teller, yep.
He's in the movie. Like, I don't want to be in a scene where I have to run next to Tom Cruise. That would make me very insecure because he's obviously the best at it, and I wouldn't want to be on stage or on camera having to run next to Cruise.
Something very interesting that you just hit on, Maggie. There is a rumor that he has in his contract that he has to run alone because he does not want to run next to people. Because basically, you bring up a good point. People are never running next to him. If you think about him running, he's often running alone. He's not running with people. So
yeah,
maybe that's
his thing.
Yeah.
That's funny, though. I didn't realize that the insecurity would be coming from Cruise's side. I thought it would be from his fellow actors who wouldn't want to be in the same scene. But that's interesting. The Cruise wants to run alone.
Yeah.
I respect it.
He's kind of short, too, so I think that's more complicated. Can I just give one plug for my favorite athletic scene in any movie? Philip Seymour Hoffman and Along Came Polly playing basketball is still the all-time playing back. That is the all-time athletic. Like, I just think to put yourself out there as a sweaty, disgusting male basketball player. Like, because
I'm a big commitment to the craft.
Yeah, I'm a big evaluator. When they put basketball scenes in the movie, like, that's to me, that's what separates the men from the boys. You can tell, like, who's really an athlete and who's not.
So my favorite basketball scene in a movie, hands down, there is no, like, even close second, is Teen Wolf.
Yeah.
Those are some incredible basketball scenes. They are so fake and there are so many cuts. Yeah. But when he turns into the wolf and, like, the music that they put to it and how he takes over that high school basketball game, he's dunking the ball everywhere. That is far and away my number one seed.
And I feel, though, if Teen Wolf was made, like, closer now, they would have hired a consultant to teach Michael J. Fox how to play some basketball. Maybe drill. You know, he grew up in Canada like a hockey player. But the coach, obviously, and that is by far the greatest coach in cinema history.
Yes.
The Teen Wolf basketball coach was a genius.
The larger guy, like, you know, Michael J. Fox's friend, he's like a little bit chubbier. Yeah. He was the worst athlete / basketball player I've ever seen. Like, every foul shot he took was at, like, it looked like he was shooting with the wrong hand, the way I would shoot right-handed, where just the form is off and the hand goes up in the weird way. He was terrible.
You know,
see, Samter just doesn't appreciate the magic. He's always looking at the bad person in the scene. He's not appreciating the good person in the scene.
So the problem is,
paying attention to Cruise being a great runner. You're looking at gangly Liam Neeson as the bad runner. Got to turn your attention towards the good.
It's the credit to the good actor, because when they're good at shooting hoops or when they're good at running, you don't notice it because you're immersed in the action. Mm. But when you're immersed in a movie and you see the bad running or the bad shooting or the guy who can't throw a football but, you know, somehow it goes 50 yards, you notice that because, you know, it kind of breaks the magic.
Mm. By the way, Good Hoops in June 8th, Netflix, Hustle, starring Andrew Perloff, Anthony Edwards, and Juancho Hernan Gomez.
Andrew Perloff at the top bill there.
Yeah.
Presented by Adam Sandler.
Yeah. Sandler, he wanted authentic, so he got Anthony Edwards to be in the movie. Like, trust me, that is going to be authentic basketball.
That's going to be the best basketball scenes outside of probably Ray Allen in He Got Game, you know?
Absolutely.
Do we want to talk about your big day, or do you want to hold that to for the next segment?
Let's hold that because I have a wardrobe change coming, Maggie.
Ooh, wardrobe change.
You're not going to be able to see it on radio, but it's going to be worth holding on.
Okay. Well, if you can get to a TV, get to your TV, CBS Sports Network, Andrew Perloff, big day for him. Super excited. We'll explain all the details coming up next. Plus, we have a secret meeting that took place between two highly influential general managers. What was on the agenda? We'll get to that along with Perloff's big day. Don't move. Bottom of the hour, time for a CBS Sports update. Here's Rich Ackerman.
Back on Maggie and Perloff. Maggie, I'm not sure how well I thought all of this out. I did a mid-show change, so I have to put on a suit because I am headed in a few minutes to the Sports Emmys in New York City. Yay!
Congrats! Yes, I noticed the outfit change. You're like, what are you, hosting the VMAs? It's like multiple outfit changes through one show. But no, this is awesome. The Sports Emmys are happening in New York City tonight. Your former show, DP Show, is nominated for like the 1,000th year in a row. Such a good show. And it's what category again?
Best Studio Sports Show. So it's we're up against a lot of friends. Good Morning Football, SportsCenter, a small show called SportsCenter. PTI is on there every year. MLB Tonight. I'm not even sure. I don't
NBA on TNT?
You know, for some reason, they don't put them in our category, or if they, I don't know, maybe they don't get nominated, or maybe they don't even submit. I have no idea.
You know what it is? It's a daily.
Yes.
You guys were a daily. Good Morning Football's a daily. SportsCenter's a daily. That's probably the distinction of the categories. How do I know more about this than you?
Well, it's interesting because let's be honest, like it's like us, it's a radio show on TV. It's a little different than SportsCenter. I always thought it was funny. The Dan Patrick Show and SportsCenter are very different shows. They're both outstanding in their own way. But so we would, you know, Dan Patrick Show is kind of a smaller staff, more humble. And you'd get to the Emmys and there'd be like 400 people listed for producers on SportsCenter. But it's really fun. You know, it's a who's who. Somebody said, oh, Emmys, it's going to be like red carpet. I'm like, no, you're going to be sitting next to like a guy who's been a producer for 25 years. You know, it's a little less glamorous. Have you been, Maggie? I know like you've been around a lot of different like nominated projects.
Yeah. Well, I have won a local New York Sports Emmy, but that was obviously not the same kind of thing. No, I've never been to the Sports Emmys. Never been nominated for a Sports Emmy like in the way that that your show has. But of course you're going to be rubbing elbows with the who's who. Like, I want to know who you're running into here. This is going to be,
wait.
You know, you mentioned, Peter Schrager, Kay, Kyle. Tell Kyle I'm mad at him, by the way. He's got to stop jinxing my Buffalo Bills. You know, you're going to have the Al Michaels and the Costases.
No,
I mean, everyone's
going
to be there.
No, they sure are not going to. All those people are not going to be there. Yeah, lower your bar, Maggie. Yeah, you think Al Michaels
no
is
Nance?
Showing? No. I've never seen Nance there, never seen Michaels there. It's
but they win every year.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen Nance there. I mean, it's an East Coast, West Coast thing. So Jim Nance is so busy, he's probably not going to fly out for that. The one guy that I do see there every year is A-Rod, and I snub him because his security guards pushed me at a Super Bowl party. So A-Rod will be there. Strahan is there sometimes.
Man,
that's probably the biggest
A-Rod?
Name.
A-Rod and Strahan would go to the opening of an envelope.
Yeah.
I mean, they will go to any event in New York City. It's really amazing.
Yeah. Well, I think you kind of hit the nail on the head. It's a New York City event. So it's people you see at New York City media events. I'm not sure, like, you know, Tony Romo, for example, gets nominated every year. I think he won last year. He does not often show up, but we'll see. Maybe he'll be there. Joe Buck. I mean, Joe Buck's probably in Cabo right now. So.
Okay, so who's going to be the most famous person in the room? Is it Dan?
No, I mean, well, I don't know who's more famous, Dan Patrick or Strahan. Strahan is the morning show, I think.
Strahan, I mean, might have him beat there, but that'd be pretty close.
Yeah. Let's see. A-Rod, it's been there twice, so maybe he'll be there.
That's pretty famous.
Yeah, that's pretty famous. I'm hoping for J-Lo or... For me, the most thing, the thing
they
that
they broke most, up. She's marrying Ben Affleck.
Yeah, I know.
You got to get your story straight.
No, I know, but she shows up at these kind of things, doesn't she? She's a big sports fan. The most star-studded one, like by far, that I've ever been to is the Sports Illustrated Sportsman of the Year parties. That is like, that is what separates like B-list from A-list. That is the most insane list. The Emmy list is nothing. Like, you're not going to see LeBron at any of these or Beyonce. All people I've seen Jay-Z. None of those people show up for the Sports Emmys.
Yeah, yeah. Sports Illustrated Sportsman and Sports Illustrated Super Bowl parties definitely might have that beat. But again, it's like an industry event, so that's really cool. You're going to be there rubbing elbows with everybody. I am expecting a lot of stories tomorrow.
No.
Especially people telling you how much they like the new show and all the well wishes, you know.
Oh, that'd be nice. yeah, okay. I feel bad because I love the Sports Emmy people. They're incredibly nice. But it's just not, it's not glamorous like that. But it's cool. And you know what? Usually, like, the funny thing about the cat, you know what wins the most is little 3-minute segments that were on the CBS pregame show for football. Every
yes.
year, a CBS football pregame show feature wins like 10 Emmys. And then they play them and they're brilliant. They totally deserve, like, that's sometimes where the real genius lies in this industry is the producers who do like a 2-minute segment, a hype segment that is just incredibly well done.
Yeah, no, those, and they stay with you, you know, because they are so impactful. No doubt about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, try to glitz and glam that room up a little bit, Perloff. I mean, do your part here, McLovin. Like, I just think it's hilarious that basically your old show, this is your shot to win with the old show.
Yeah, there was a debate, the debate that we've had actually for months now. What would be the worst thing that could happen is if they, it doesn't matter if we lose this year and they win next year without me, that will prove that all along I was the one thing holding them back from winning a Sports Emmy. So the question was posed to me, would I rather guarantee a loss this year if I could also guarantee the Dan Patrick Show does not win next year? Because that's the worst. So I avoid the worst case. I don't win one this year, but I avoid the worst case scenario. It's very mean-spirited and diva wide receiver-ish, but I kind of, I just don't want them to win without me. That would be bad.
Just right on brand. You spent 12 years yet there, and then the year after you leave, they win an Emmy. You got to figure out who's on this Emmy committee. Like, is it the Scott Foster, like, where you're the Chris Paul, and every time he refs a game, you know you're going to lose? Like, there either is one person on that Emmy committee who either loves you and wants to send you out with the Dan Patrick Show on a high note, or somebody who loathes you and wants to keep you from forever winning an Emmy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, let's get real here for a second. What if we get nominated next year? Then obviously, could it be that Dan Patrick was holding me back from an Emmy and that Maggie Gray would be the difference to put me over the top? That would
be in the same sentence as Dan Patrick. Never happened before. And that would be incredible. Man, that would, we got to get going here on this Emmy nom. Samter, Stu, everyone. We got to start putting our reel together.
Yeah.
Marlo?
Like, I guess picture the voters at home. Why is this person talking about squirrels so much? Like, what is the deal? What's the deal with this person who's terrified of squirrels?
Is there a greatest fears revealed category? Because I feel like we would have nailed that.
I think we should just send the last segment where we're talking about how Laura Dern ran faster because she was afraid of dinosaurs.
As opposed to the Will Smith who was chasing an alien in Men in Black. That's gold. That's Emmy dust right
that's
there.
Pretty much, like, we know what the Emmys are looking for, and that's it. Yeah. And
you want
do you remember that action sequence when Samter was eating his snack right out of the bag? Like, we actually have video. This is maybe.
I wish I could do it again. The bag's empty.
Yeah. Is there a Razzle? A Razzies? Remember, like,
Razzies?
The bat? Yeah.
No, the best would be they, like, go to our reel and, like, they cut to people in the audience, like, crying, but it's not because they're moved. It's just because they feel so bad for us.
Yeah. tear-inducing Maggie and Pearl.
Can we get a participation Emmy?
Yeah, I mean, that's a trend these days. Everyone gets a participation trophy, right? Yeah, like, we're here. We're on TV. Give us
what's our category? We're here, we're on TV. Where's our award?
Yeah. Everyone wins something these days. So, by the way, if I come back tomorrow and we win, talking about diva wide receivers, it's going to be some pretty big ego. They're going to have to expand this camera shot because my head is not going to fit into the box it's in right now. I'm just warning you right now, Maggie.
Man, between making it into both Hustle trailers.
Yep.
And if you were to win an Emmy tonight, I mean, this would be like, would you be peaking? This is like your Sports Illustrated cover moment.
This could be, bad news, I could definitely be peaking. I could go nowhere but down after this.
I'm so glad we signed up to do a show together.
Yes.
No, really, good luck. Wishing you the best. You're going to stick around for a little bit, though. Zach Harper is going to join us next. Don't move.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.